good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you, Terry?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, I want to get right with it tonight. It's going to be busy. We're going to have a call-in tonight from my sister who was in the fire out there in Paradise, California. So before we get to that, I want to share a couple things real quick. One is we had a great Christmas gift and toy giveaway at the church. People came in to hear a wonderful message. I want to give a shout out to some people real quick that were a huge help with this. I'd like to mention Modern Woodman. Modern Woodman was great. They helped out. And, you know, they're great for all your insurance needs. And Prospect Pharmacy, Tim Sheehan has always been a great help there. United Bank, Terry Wallace and the crew over there in Prospect. Oh my, there's been so many. The new Dollar General store in Prospect helped out a great deal. Digger Doug's excavating helped out. I don't want to miss anybody, and I know I will. The Prospect Battle Run Fire Department helped out a great deal. You know, it just went on and on. The Mary Davis family.
You know, I say a lot of individual donors.
And, you know, it's just such a buzzing. Creekside Church on the west side of Columbus, Creekside out there in Galloway, great people out there. It really helped out to make this thing happen this year. And, oh, let's not forget the United Federal Credit Union.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one, too. Yeah. And Connie Dunn always helps us with that.
To make things like that successful, though, you really need people like
you
that.
You really do. We took care of over 80 kids for Christmas.
That's great.
And we still have about 15 meals to be prepared for people to go out before Christmas.
So great.
Thank all of you out there. And if
absolutely.
I missed you, shame on me.
Give yourself a big
it was just
pat on the back.
And it's just a huge blessing. And all the people that work, so many people work and came out and helped with that. And thank all of you that came. It was a blessing.
Definitely the volunteers, too, because you can't do it without them.
Right.
Yeah.
Blessing to be able to serve.
Absolutely.
Hey, we are Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We do have a Sunday service coming up this week. We had a great children's program last week. Christmas program. This week we'll have the adult choir singing Christmas hymns, and it'll be a special choir. We normally don't have a choir. And then we will have on Christmas Eve our services at 9 o'clock, and it'll run from about 9 to 9:30 in the evening. So please come out for that. It's a warm time. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number is 740-494-2222. And hey, I think this is Laura probably calling in now. I hear the phone ring. Oh, man. Got to scare him off the phone, Terry. You got it? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, you there?
I am here.
Hi, Laura. You know what? It's been a week since I've talked to you. It's just been such... Oh, my word. I'm not even going to tell you it's been crazy because your life's a lot crazier than mine right now, I'm sure. But how are you doing?
Okay. I am I'm exhausted. Hey, just to let you know, we have storms out here today, so I'm not real sure how good our connection's going to be or how long it'll last.
Wow, that could cause some mudslides, couldn't it, with all the fires?
What's that?
That's not going to cause any mudslides, is it?
Well, that's always a possibility. Plus, they figure that the rains are going to cause... People are allowed back in Paradise now to their properties to, you know, do whatever they need to do there, but the rains are going to cause a lot of those trees to fall. So there are a lot of trees left, but being that they're pine trees... They'll probably
like
die within a year.
Yeah.
The sap, you know, hardens up inside of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then the rains also are going to bring a lot of those trees down, so.
Wow. Hey, in case none of you know, this is my sister, Laura Whitaker. She lives in, well, she did live in Paradise, California before the fire. She lost her home there. And also her daughter and her family, Haley, lost their home, which is in Chico, California. And been a lot of eventful things going on since then. Laura was on the program a little over a week ago and talked about some of the changes and things that were going on and where they were staying and the difficulties. And Laura, I'll be honest with you, I'm sorry I haven't really been talking with you much in the last week. This was our week that we do our huge Christmas giveaway and outreach of the church, and We did Christmas for about 80 kids, and it's such a huge undertaking, it kind of envelops the whole week, if you know what I mean. And,
yeah.
So anyway, so catching up with you at the same time, you told me that you're in Durham now.
I am. I'm in a, it's about, it's kind of a farming community, a lot of orchards, and it's probably about 40 minutes away from Paradise. And I'm here for now. You know, it's everything, everywhere we go is kind of like a for now situation. So,
you still have to run back and forth to get your mail and all that stuff, right?
Well, all of the post office boxes were full everywhere very quickly. So right now I have a couple where in Chico, where I was staying, and they've been receiving my mail for now. And I'm no longer out there, though. Pardon?
How far is Chico from where you are now?
About 20 minutes. You know, I went to the property Sunday.
How'd that go?
It was rough. I decided, you know, they kept telling us that we should go with clergy or, you know, a support system, but I decided I needed just to go by myself, me and God, anyway. And I did. That's what I needed. So, my heart was beating pretty hard. I could feel it the closer I got to Paradise. And
oh, sure.
Then I kind of just cried going through Paradise because it's just
gone.
Looks like a battered war zone, you know, just everything gone, and then there were lots that would have been people's open properties or fields where it was now kind of a car graveyard for all the cars that had been burned up alongside of the roads.
So you just kind of pulled them into those lots.
Right, pulled them into those lots, and
wow.
I was pretty overwhelmed when I got to my property, more than I thought I would be.
Was there anything there at all?
No. I had really, really hoped just to find
something.
Jane, when she was four, got me a silver mirror, and I was just hoping somehow, and I knew the areas where those things would be, but even the glass, anything that was glass had melted into strange-shaped puddles. That's how hot it was.
Wow.
I did, surprisingly, being that it's a Christmas time of year, I found some of my Christmas ornaments. They were charred and black. You know, they had been metal. Like, I had a little metal angel, and I found it, and it was all black, but it was solid. And then I found the Christmas tree topper. It had been metal, and it was solid, but really, everything's gone.
Hey, you can repaint them, right?
Huh?
You are going to keep them, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I have the little angels on my tree right now.
There you go. There you go. See, that's called a hope angel.
She's black and charred, but she's on there.
She's a hope angel, right? Are you able to go to your church?
To my church?
I know the church is gone, right?
Yeah. We are. We had a dinner that was prepared for us in Chico on Friday. That was our Christmas dinner, and it was bittersweet. Eli went with me, my grandson. He went with me, and he kind of broke down crying. It was emotional for him.
Well,
and,
have you lost many members of the church?
Huh?
Did you lose very many members of the church?
Originally, we probably had around 300 people, and I think we probably have maybe 40.
No, I mean, how many people, were there any of them lost in the fire as far as is?
Oh, yes.
Victims.
Yes, just a couple of people, but yes.
That's more than enough.
Yeah, and I can hardly hear you, so I'm sorry if I answer your questions wrong, I've lost a couple of friends as well.
Can you hear me okay better now?
As good as I can. Like I said, we have a rough connection because of the weather here.
One thing I want to do, out there, I know that you're still struggling to put your life together and put things together, and I know that it's very difficult. You do have a camper, and
yes.
But the ongoing problem is, where do you keep it long term? And
yeah.
My question is, has California, have they eased the regulations any to get some of these campers places to stay or go, or is it still being? I had heard, matter of fact, I think you might have told me that they were charging, places were charging $275 a week for people to park their campers.
Oh no, that's $375 a week.
Boy, there's this Christmas spirit, folks, isn't it?
Right, and the prices. There are people. Also, what is happening here is that longtime renters in some of these surrounding towns have been being evicted, and the people that own the homes are putting for sale at very high prices. So the prices of anything and everything has really gone up around here. We also found out today that when they do allow people back into Paradise to rebuild, they're only letting them have their RVs there for 6 months. They only have 6 months to put a house on there, and they're not going to be allowing manufactured homes. This is to put a home there. And
with all their regulations and codes, how can they even do it in 6 months?
Well, nobody's going to have, you know, the sad thing is these people that have lost their homes, even if they had insurance, they're not going to have the money to rebuild.
Wow.
Because the standards of what they want built there now, once they try to rebuild the town, are so much higher than the people that were there could really afford anyway.
Because it was very blue collar, and now they're going, man, that's just, you know, I want everyone that's out there listening right now that knows the Lord to pray for this situation and pray for the pray for the hearts of these people that are being so calloused and profiteering. You know, I saw this during Hurricane Andrew years ago down in Florida. When Hurricane Andrew hit, all of a sudden the price of lumber went through the roof. And for poor builders out there, it never came back down. I mean, it hasn't since. And it's just wrong that they do that.
Yeah.
And hey, how are you doing? You doing all right?
I am. I mean, I'm you know, I'm experiencing phases of different kinds of emotions and things that I never have before.
Sure.
And which is normal, but they're foreign to me. So, you know, I'm just, I'm acknowledging them for what they are, because it is just all an experience of what I went through, and it's the brain doing what the brain does. And I'm trying to, the best I can, you know, keep blinders on, focus ahead, focus on, you know, the blessings and Lord and the good things ahead. But I know this is going to be really, this is going to be a long, hard road. It really is.
You may really have to seriously consider relocating, huh? Not necessarily from California, but at least from that area.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to live.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the family? How are they doing?
You know, doing well. Haley and Cody, they're doing pretty well. I think it's a little harder on Cody because, you know, he's the man of the family, and it has been pretty devastating to them. Eli is one of the strongest little guys. He's something else. You know, I asked him this weekend. We talked about when he was going through the fire, and I said, you were probably really afraid, weren't you? And he said, no. He said, God told me that I was going to be safe, and I knew it. He said, I was really worried about you. He said, because I was afraid you would burn in the fire. He said, but I knew I was okay.
He's a lot.
And that's
like
just the kind of little guy he is.
Yes, aren't they a blessing?
Yeah.
These kids are just wonderful. They can say some things that really put things in perspective, can't they?
Yeah.
Hey, I want you to do something while I've got you on the phone, and then before we get off, I'm going to have you do it again. because I know people, it's hard for people to write things down. In a minute here, I'm going to ask Laura to give us her address and contact information. If you would like to send her a line, talk to her, encourage her, or even send her some help, I'm sure that a lot of people are beginning to forget about this stuff. And things are relatively desperate out there. But so prepare yourself and get something to write with. And here in a minute, Laura, I'm going to ask you to do that. But I want to give everyone a minute to get a pencil, paper, or whatever they need to. And while we're doing that, I will share again that we have a Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve at 9 o'clock at night. And it'll be about a half-hour service. There'll be candlelight, most of it. And we'll sing a few songs and send everyone out, you know, praising the Lord and thanking Him for coming to this earth. What a blessing that is. And it's a time of love and giving and sharing. And my message last Sunday was about forgiveness and having that spirit of forgiveness and the fact that we need to. It's real interesting. If we plant the seeds of forgiveness, they always seem to spring forth a plant of joy and peace and love. And when we harbor ill, we hurt ourselves. And we have to, so many times this time of year, people say, oh, if I got to go see that family member, I'm going to, you know, I hope they don't come. or, you know, there's someone that you're worried about coming, and how's that going to be? Or are you going to buy this person the right thing or the not the right thing? Man, I'll tell you what, it's interesting. I was talking to some people this morning. We were talking about stress, Christmas stress. And I said, let me guess. I said, all your stress, I was at the bank. And I said, all your stress is surrounding one thing. And they said, yeah, it is. I said, I know what that is. They said, what? I said, it's gifts. They said, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that shouldn't be, you know, if we truly care about one another. But, you know, it's a time of forgiveness and rebonding with people that you may have felt hurt you or you hurt them or whatever the situation is. Life's too short to go through life angry. And Laura, isn't life short?
It sure is.
And you can't guarantee tomorrow that you're going to have what you had the day before, can you?
Yep, that's true. We have no clue what's ahead.
I'll tell you something neat, though. Our mother, she not only brought us up to know the Word and trust the Lord, she lived it. And my mother was one of those people that if she suddenly woke up one day with nothing, she could make a house out of a cardboard box. And she did pass that on to Laura and I. I'm not sure that we all got that, but I think Laura and I did that.
I think so, yeah.
It's that survivor, we can make it whatever to Bendale. And I am to this day. I mean, it's wonderful to be able to live okay. But I could live in a one-room place if I needed to, and it wouldn't rock my boat too awfully much.
Yeah.
It'd be difficult. You know what I mean, Laura? But, hey, Laura, give us your address and contact information so people can contact you. Can you do that?
Okay, yeah. The address is 1109 Valley Oak Drive, and that's Chico, California. And it's 95926. And, of course, my name is Laura Whitaker.
Do you want anyone to have your number or no?
What, phone number?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. I don't always have reception, but I'll give that. Yeah. It is 530-828-2873.
2873. Hey, and if you get any creeps, Laura, just hang up on them. I'll tell you what, I said, if you get any creeps, just hang up on them. I'll tell you what, I get so many, the sales calls every day. They just drive me insane. And they don't want to say no. I had to laugh the other day. I was in the garage last night. It was last night, actually. And I was working, putting a saw blade on a saw. And this guy called and he says, hey, I'm from the... it's Mr. Whitaker? I said, yes. He says, I'm from the local utility company, and I need to talk to you about your service, and I'm here with your wife on the other line right now. Well, the thing he didn't realize was that I was looking at my wife, and she was looking at me, and she was no nearer.
Yeah.
it was a sales call. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, you talked last time I talked to you about one of the things you were a little concerned about. It was a lot of people were starting to lose some hope because of the FEMA money that didn't come through and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And you were really concerned about, you know, the despair of people. Can you kind of give us a barometer on that?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that's getting better, but it's really not. The most caring that I've seen has come out of individuals in the community. And even online, you see them doing their best to give hope to those who really are losing hope. We're starting to see more and more what a desperate situation it is, because in the beginning, I think our initial feeling was, well, help will come. You know, that first week, we thought, okay, well, we're going to be helped. And we were throughout people in the community, but there truly is very little help that comes from those larger organizations. I realize there are so many of us, and I'm sure that's part of it. FEMA, I hate to say it, but they've treated us poorly. I don't know if I told you this last time, but when I had talked to them, and a friend of mine she was a Red Cross volunteer, but she had was asking them, you know, why they were being this way with us, and the lady said, "Well, you have to realize this is taxpayers' money we're dealing with," and that literally made me start crying because I said, "I am the taxpayer. We are the taxpayers." Right. So it's wearing on us because it almost feels like. It almost feels like begging. It's starting to feel very demeaning just to go to these organizations who are supposed to be the ones there, that are supposed to be there to help you out of this. And it's hard,
Let me ask you a question. I know we discussed that the things were the way they were. What about on the state level? What about on the state level and areas of the state? Do you feel that there's maybe more directed one way or the other? Is the state, I mean, the bottom line is, one of the bottom lines is that we do have 52 independent states in this country. And
and
the states are supposed to take care of their people. Is the state stepping up? Where's the state in all this? Where's California?
I still have to say no. To tell you the truth, it is just the people. It is the individuals. The fire, Cal Fire themselves, have been. They're the very ones that were trying to put out the fires, but yet they have raised so much money to try to give us individually.
Fire.
So it's really the community. It's the individual people that are coming together. To love us, to see what we need.
And I would imagine there's help coming individually from out of state, from people, too. But nothing,
Well, you know, there are people all over the United States that have been driving their RVs out here
and
donating them.
And donating them. But you're not seeing that help from the state. Well, one example you gave, I couldn't believe this, Terry. She was telling us that the last place she was parked, you know, California has a law about how long you can park in a driveway.
Uh-huh.
Well, even with this going on, they didn't relax that regulation any.
They still enforced it.
They still enforced it.
Sad.
And
yeah.
It's kind of tough. But, you know, it is tough, and especially I know this time of year is really hard. Are you going to be able to get together with the girls for Christmas?
Yeah, I'm just there. They're going to come here, and they're going to come over here and open their things, and we're going to kind of do a just finger sandwich kind of stuff, you know, something simple.
Sure.
Because it's,
I doubt you're
you know, I'm in a 30-foot trailer, so we're going to do it in the RV here. But still, you know, looking forward to it. You know, this season, so much more to me is about, not that it usually isn't about the Savior, but it is so about the Savior this year, because I can't even stand being in the stores and seeing the Christmas stuff. It is just a very personal Christmas to me.
Do you kind of feel, you know, I have to tell you, when I was, when you're left with nothing, it gives you a perspective on just how much we expect to have that is maybe not the way it should be. And
yeah.
What I mean by that is, I know when I came back from Bolivia, I was ashamed of America. And the reason I say that
is, bet. Yeah.
Those people had nothing. I mean, they didn't even have medicine. They didn't even have they had to scrounge for their food, but they always smiled and wanted to share with you what they had. And I come back and I see kids blowing a gasket because their parents won't buy them a $350 pair of tennis shoes. And
yeah.
You know, I always call that putting a pair of $100 tennis shoes on a $2 brain anyway. But but you know, the problem that we run into is that the excess hurts.
And it's a distraction.
It's a distraction from life. And
well, yeah.
From what's important in life. And
yeah,
I know I've been, as I drive around, I'll give you a good example of just how I was in a local department store. Okay, I'm going to call you out, Menards. I was in Menards the other night. And now, to their defense, you're not going to find one in the other department stores either. But they have all these, you know, things that you can put lights on the side of your house, the projectors. And they've got stars and all this stuff. And then I'm in Menards last night. They even had one that had skulls and skeletons for Christmas, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Insanity. Do you find me one that has a projected nativity scene? And I was, Shirley and I were looking at this, and this thought's going through my mind. I'm thinking, you know, this is horrible. And right as I'm thinking it, she comes out and says it. Boy, I sure like to find a nativity scene sometime. And I told her, I said, you know, it's like we're living in communist Russia today.
It is, because I believe that there are neighbors that could probably protest the fact that you had a nativity scene. You know, I mean, it's those kind of times. It is.
It really is. And, you know, something that can be encouraging, too, to people out there, because there's people out there that I know are hurting. There's people out there who have been evicted. There's people that have just lost their job. There's people that have just had people walk out in their marriages. There's illnesses. But, you know, when I'm going to read something real quick from Luke. It says in verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid." We're talking about the shepherds here. "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths." That's rags, for you that don't understand what that means. Lying in a manger. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men.'" Now think about something. We're talking about the Savior of the world, the Son of God, coming and being in an animal trough with having to be wrapped in rags. And so what that tells me is that God wanted us to understand that He makes the greatest things out of the poorest and the obscure.
Yep.
Jesus came from the humble. He wanted to show that, look, my Son can come from the humblest beginnings on earth, and you can too. You don't have to be someone from money, from great means. Lord, I would assure you from what we've talked in the past, the mission work that you've done with people and the encouragement out there has been far greater than what many, many people do, buying, doing this, doing that. It's care, it's love, and showing people that love and compassion, and that people do care about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But right, I'll bet sometimes you could use some people letting you know they care about you too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, I was going through those pictures the other night, and I found a good picture of you and I together as little rascals. And, that's coming with all. Did you get Holly's package yet?
I did. I sent her a thing. I did.
Did
it
get,
was really
did you get
nice.
Kelly's?
Huh?
Got Kelly's yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm sure I will.
You have mine, too. What we're doing, Terry, is we're trying to get a bunch of family things back together for her because she's lost everything, everything to do with family. And, you know, what a shame. And I've got an uncle that sent her some stuff, too. I know my brother-in-law, John, will be putting things together. Luckily, we have a lot of photography people in the family and some tech-savvy people. Not me. You know, I can't.
Yeah.
I can barely log on to my computer.
Yeah, me too. I think the last that was reluctant to get a smartphone. I didn't want to.
So. Good thing the phone's smart.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
So you're in this trailer. Have you met any people around there? What are you doing during the day? What's your day? What's going on during your? First of all, well, let me ask this: have you got any new appointments with your doctor and talked about your surgeries or anything?
Well, you know, they got my test back from my, where I wore the heart holder for a couple of days, and I have a lot of tachycardia on it, and then my heartbeat will drop down around 50, which they said is dangerously low for that drop, and then tachycardia. So Thursday I'm getting an ultrasound and the color scan guy.
Good.
Of my heart, and
I can kind
of understand.
They're going
to try and figure out what's going on with that. So I just have all kinds of stuff going on, you know. And honestly, I'm not even worried about any of it. I'll go to the doctor's appointments, but after what I just went through, I obviously am meant to be here. I'm not going to not go to my doctor visits, but I don't have that same level of worry about my health as I did before.
It's kind of funny you mention that. A dear friend of mine, Clint Calvin. Clint had a very major accident a year and a half ago and literally had his entire face and jaws are made out of titanium cable, shock absorbers, and he's missing in the front of his skull right now. It got infected. They had to take it out. They're making him a new one. But I told him, I said, Clint, you know, you better be careful. I said, you know, he said, look, he said, I don't worry about death anymore. After what I went through and the Lord brought me through it, he brought me through it for a reason. So I'm not going to worry. When he's done, he's done. And
I feel that way, too. I really feel that way. Yeah, I do feel that way.
He was done,
he'd have
been lost in that fire.
Yeah, I obviously am here as long as he wants me here, and I'm not going anywhere till it's his time for me to go. And like I said, I'm not going to be stupid and not do everything I need to do with my surgeries and stuff, but I also don't have that level of worry about it as I did. I really don't. It's that's gone. You know, it's amazing the change in me spiritually just in one morning. Just in one morning and going through that experience, you know, I always had a struggle from when Dad had died, and I think maybe we all felt that way, but there was a certain fear that I had in it, and I had a hard time trusting the Lord because I knew that bad things could happen, and that scared me.
That was so sudden.
I was 8 years old, and I always had trouble and always felt, I always truly, down in my spirit, felt like I really didn't trust him like I should.
And
it all changed in one morning. I realized that he's got me, and you know,
yeah,
and I can trust him.
I listen to you say that, and I've listened to my friend Clint talk, and it almost makes me think, man, I need to get, wish I could go through one of those, you know, because, you know, we need that.
No.
No, I know, but we just need sometimes that reckless abandon of trusting God and just say, God, here I am. And I think that we have that to a point. I was talking the other day about someone about, you know, we were talking on Sunday night in Bible study about where's a moment in your life that you know it just had to be God. I mean, it couldn't have been anything else.
Yeah.
And people
were
telling their experiences. And I said, to be perfectly honest, my experience is just me. If I look where I was months ago, and I look where I'm at, I mean, years ago, and I look at me now, no, there's no way you got there. How the Lord put you there? And he did it because he did it. It wasn't me. And it's that surrendering to him that does it. It isn't some road I got on and climbed. I'm powerless.
Well, my experience is I could have easily gave up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
But you don't.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You don't. You know.
All of
Laura,
it.
I need you to give me your address.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, one more time.
One more time.
Okay.
Look at the clock.
Sure. It's 1109 Valley Oak Drive in Chico, California. And that's 95926.
Listen, everyone, if you could possibly give her any encouragement or help, you know, even I know monetary stuff is fantastic and she can certainly use it. But even a letter and a card, just something to, praying
means
for
a lot.
You. When people tell me they're praying for me in tough spots, it makes my day. And I know many times that's what carries me through are the prayers. And Laura, I got to let you
know.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say just what people have given me notes or just little things of encouragement. I have taped them out up surrounding my whole doorwell, my whole door, just so that when I go in and out of that door, I think about those thoughts and those prayers, and they do mean everything.
I've got to get some stuff to you. I'm going to, but I've got a lot of stuff that is not just pictures that I want to get to you to replace some of those things I know you lost that have to do with family and things.
You know, you remember that toy box I had that Dad had done with the after the fire
the
that we had when we were kids?
Box. The old cash register box. Yeah, that he made into a toy box.
Yep, I loved that thing, and I think that was the most painful to lose, but I found the, it had some metal strips, the handles and the metal strips around it. I found those, and a guy in the church asked me if I had any pictures of that box, and I told him I did, so he told me that he's gonna rebuild it and use the metal straps and the handles.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the story behind that, Terry. We lived in Mount Sterling, Ohio. There was a little IGA store out right. It took off from Route 207 heading out of the Y at Mount Sterling. And they got three new cash registers, a national cash register, three new cash registers. You know, they used to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
And they had these three crates they were in. And my dad said, hey, could I have them? And they said, sure, yeah, take them. We don't want them. Mm-hmm. So he brought them home. And he made one of them into a tack box for tack. Remember that, Laura? And I think, is that the one he ended up making into the toy box for you?
It is, because I used to go in the tack room when I was little there at the track, and I would color on that box, and I'd spend so much time on that little box. And, yeah, he took that and made it into a toy box for me, lined it and painted it and made it into a toy box, and I still had it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, those things are so, so, so important.
They are. Those are the things you can't replace.
No, you can't. You know, our house that we lived in the country for so long, it's gone now. And my daughters took the woodwork from that house and made bookshelves.
Oh.
Well, the place that bought the woodwork out of the house made these bookshelves and they purchased them. But things like that are so cool to have.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Laura,
those
listen,
are things
I gotta go.
That just, yeah.
But I love you and I'll talk to you before.
I love you.
I'll talk to you before Christmas. I'm keeping you in prayer. Let's pray before you get off the phone.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with Laura and the rest of the family and everyone out there, that Lord, people would open their hearts this time of year. And maybe you might even soften a few hearts of a few officials and politicians. Lord, we just ask for your strength for this time and that you wrap your arms around these people. Thank you for your love and grace and most of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Bye, Laura. I'll see you.
I'll see you later. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay. Well,
it was a good conversation,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it really was. Laura's really, really hanging in there. And you know, we forget this stuff so easily, you know. That was all on the news. The news was, it was nothing about that while the fires were burning. And the minute the fires stopped,
it's like we just, we gave up on those guys. You know, I don't want to say that, but I mean, you know, we.
Yeah, the news media went on to their next story.
Yeah, that's a good way to
look. I'm sorry if you heard a little commotion on the background a few minutes ago, but there's just some clutter behind us. Anyway, I hope everyone's getting ready for Christmas. Give me a call if you need to talk. I'm at my church phone number is 740-494-2222, and we're also at prospectccf.com. I just, you know, if anyone's struggling this time of year, just need someone to talk to, you know, God's there for you. And if I can some way help facilitate that to give you more peace and joy in your life, please do that. My burden this year is for people and for young kids and little kids. And, you know, I see these kids struggling out there, and it's heartbreaking. And I got to tell you, too, though, I see good kids out there. And I see people doing meaningful things out there. And it's just such a blessing to see young people doing things. We had all those kids packing the stockings a few weeks ago. And, you know, you see people that truly want to help and do what they can. And, you know, we can turn this thing around, folks. We just need to get our love back on. And I think the way we're going to do that is we got to look at the love of Christ, the true love of Christ, and what he truly meant. And look at things more of his standards rather than wanting him to come to our standards. And then we'll see things change in our life. But I truly want you all to have a great Christmas. Please remember our Christmas Eve service. I'd love to see you there. Everyone will welcome you. Come as you are. Please. We're not a church that puts on fancy airs, believe me. We're at 209 East Water Street, right in the middle of town in Prospect. You can't miss us. I refer to us as the Church of Misfit Toys. We're just people. We're God's people, and we're there by the grace of God. And love you all. Have a great day and a blessed Christmas. And I'll talk to you Friday morning on the Over the Fence with Scott and Steve. And other than that, you guys have a very
You're listening to WWGH Christmas. Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for the holiday season.